Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, that we can come here, that we can learn about you. So we ask you to speak to us, Lord, that our ears, that our hearts may be open. And Lord, may the words that are said be the words from you. And may you and you alone be glorified, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. For the past several years, I've been privileged to be able to go down to our camp here in this conference, to the Broken Arrow Ranch, and be a camp pastor for a weekend. And my family and I would have fun that whole kind of long weekend with the campers. We would go swimming and do the crafts and do the worships. We'd walk up the incredibly long hike up the hill. And if you've ever been to Broken Arrow Ranch, you know what I'm talking about. It's the hill that really separates the men from the boys and the women from the ladies. And we'd walk up there for a campfire every night, although strangely enough, there was never a fire when we got there. I was always meaning to ask Pastor Seth why that was. But there was never a fire when we got there, but it did wear the kids out after walking up the hill. So everything kind of evened out. But the one thing that we would always look forward to most as being there at camp was they would always talk about and have the camp party in the lodge on Saturday night. After our last Vespers Saturday evening, we'd have a party. And I remember it was years ago, I think Ethan was about 3 years old or so, he had heard about this party all week long, and so he was very excited about it. So we got back down the hill from worship, we went into our cabin, got our things, and then we were going to go to the party. And here's little Ethan, he's like this, he's Johanna's age at the time. And he goes walking down the hill, and he's like this, he's got his arms up in the air, walking down every step going, "Party, party, party." And I looked around, I thought, what am I, I'm raising a miniature John Belushi here. What is this? Well, whether it's a wedding or a birthday or a baby shower, we like all types of parties, don't we? Parties are fun. But does the Bible say anything about partying? What do you think? Did you know that there are all types of parties going on in the Scriptures? The Bible has a lot to say about parties. So let's take a look at some of them this morning. If you got your Bible with you, or maybe one in front of you, grab it and open up to Exodus. Let's take a look at parties in the Bible. We're going to find in the Bible some good parties, and we're also going to find some bad parties in the Bible. What makes the difference? So turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 20. This is right after the experience of the Red Sea. The Israelites have gone through safely. Pharaoh and his army try to follow them, and the walls of the great sea come crashing down upon them. And then here's what we find happening at the end of that. Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, saying, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." So here they are, they're praising God. They're excited. Can you say amen? I'd be excited. I don't think I'd be sitting still on that day. They were excited. They had to move because of that excitement. They threw a party in praise to God. There's another party in the Old Testament. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. We find another party going on. 2 Samuel chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 13 and 15. This is when they are finally bringing the Ark of the Covenant, that precious, precious Ark, bringing it back to Jerusalem. And again, they are excited. It's okay to be excited when you come before God. Again, can you say amen? Amen. All right, all right. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. "And so it was, when those bearing the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed, David sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet." Here again, they're praising God, they're being loud, and it's okay to praise God for what he is doing. So these are good parties, would you say? That's true, these are good parties in the Bible. What makes it a good party? Well, the celebration was for who? It was for God. And they were praising him. I think that's what makes it a good party. But in the Bible, we have the other type of party too. So let's take a look at those. Let's go back to Exodus now. Exodus chapter 32. So just a little while after that experience in the Red Sea and the party that they had there, they decide to have another party. This one is when Moses is gone. He's been gone too long up on the mountain. They decide we need to have another party. So then in Exodus chapter 32, we find this going on. They decide to make a calf, a cow, a gold cow, so that we can bow down and worship it. Somehow this seemed to be a good idea. And Moses and Joshua come back to the camp in verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There's a noise of war in camp." But Moses said, "It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." Good party or bad party? Bad party. Moses comes and he is not happy. Takes the Ten Commandments and smashes them to the ground. He's so angry. Wild party before an idol. Not a good party. Then we find another party. Let's go all the way to the New Testament. They were still partying back then too. So go with me to Matthew chapter 14. Let's see another party that happens. So we try to look at all the parties. Not all of them, but some of the parties in the Bible. Matthew 14. Verses 6 and 7. It's Herod's birthday party, and he has someone dance. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she goes to her mom and says, what should I ask for? And her mom, who had an axe to grind with a certain prophet, said, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." I don't think John was really happy at this party. Good party or bad party? What do you think? Bad party. Now again, we've still got joyous occasions happening, people having fun, but what makes it a good party and what makes it a bad party? Friends, it comes down to the reason or the motive for partying. That's what makes all the difference. If the celebration is all about ourselves and we're forgetting about God, that's a bad party. But if we're celebrating what God has done in our lives, what he's doing in our world, that is something that we should be celebrating. Amen? So when you go to a party, figure out your motivation and make sure you don't forget about God. So how did Jesus feel about parties? What do you think? Did you know that Jesus was a party goer? Some of you didn't know that, did you? He was. Let me show you. John chapter 2, you're going to find the wedding of Cana. And Jesus goes to the wedding. He goes to celebrate there. In fact, they run out of drink, and Jesus helps them out with that. And then, if you're still there in Matthew, let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Another party that happens. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus has just got done calling Matthew to follow him. That doesn't sound all that odd, but Matthew just happened to be a tax collector, which at that time, tax collectors were thought of kind of about down here, or maybe actually in the cellar, is what people thought of tax collectors. I don't know what we would equivalent them to today, if we'd say they were IRS agents, but even worse than that, because these guys were corrupt, they weren't just doing their jobs. If anybody happens to be an IRS agent, I have nothing against you whatsoever. But they weren't very well thought of. And here in Matthew chapter 9, look what happens in verse 10. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, Matthew is so excited about being called to follow Jesus, he has a party, and he invites all his friends. Only who are his friends? The tax collectors and other sinners. Look at this. He's at the table at the house, and behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus goes not just to a party, he goes to a party with sinners. Whoa. I wonder, would we have been at Matthew's party? If we'd have been invited, would we have gone to this party? What do you think? Well, it's not just Matthew. You know, maybe Jesus was just being polite. He got invited, so he decided, I better go. It's not just that. There's another time this happens again. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19 now. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus isn't just invited to a party. He invites himself. That's how much he liked parties. Then I'm going to your house. Throw me a party. Luke chapter 19, verse 5. You kids are going to recognize this story. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, what's the rest of it, kids? You come down, yeah. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now he's not just being polite and saying, I guess I better come to Matthew's place. Now he's saying, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your place, hanging out with sinners, accused of being a party goer. They say to Jesus, and he was a party goer, and he wasn't afraid to even hang out with sinners, even though it made the saints kind of uncomfortable. What is he doing? Well, what about our parties today? These are the parties from years ago. What about the parties today? And folks, I have to be honest with you. You should always be honest when you're preaching. I happen to know about partying. I do. You might look at me and see the suit and tie and not realize that, but I do know the parties of this world. Most of you know that I was not always an Adventist, nor was I always a Christian. So when I was in college, I knew all about the partying of this world. In fact, one of my oldest best friends, Nathan, one time was sharing stories of my partying exploits at Iowa State with some of his younger friends. He was telling them all the things that I used to do. And then they started hanging out with me, and I was there at their parties, and this was a time when God was starting to change me. So I was different now than the stories that they'd heard about me. So they took Nathan aside, and they said, man, Michael doesn't party like he used to. They noticed it. And his reply was, yeah, well, few do party like he used to. Because that guy, he could throw a party with nothing but a broomstick and Cheese Whiz. So a little bit of an exaggeration there. But they noticed that something was changing in me. But I do remember the parties of this world. I've been there. Most of the parties in our society have one common denominator. Do you know what they are? Whether it's a big college party or maybe just a small gathering of friends or maybe going out or even friends, even at Christmas, you can find this at a lot of people's parties. You know what it is? Alcohol. You can find it there. At just about all of them. Let's talk a bit about alcohol this morning. Is the Bible against it? What do you think? Years ago, I was scared to try to find these parts of the Bible. I didn't want to read them because I was afraid, if I read that, I'm going to be responsible for it. So I tried to steer clear of them. But now, folks, I don't want just parts of the Bible. I want the whole Bible. Can you say amen? I got to take the whole thing in. I can't pick and choose. So let's look and see, is the Bible against alcohol and drinking? Turn with me to Proverbs. Proverbs, you'll find, is right after the book of Psalms. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 20 and look at a couple things here. What does the Bible say about alcohol? Proverbs chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 1. I hear the pages turning, which is music to my ears. I'll let you get there. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not what, folks? Not wise. It doesn't sound like that's not a real ringing endorsement, is it? In fact, let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Let's look in a couple places about this. What does the Bible say about alcohol? Proverbs 23, verse 29. Ask the question, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? who has redness of eyes, those who linger long at the wine, and those who go in search of mixed wine. Who here says, you know what, I really need some more woe in my life. I need some more woe. Can I sign up for some more sorrow? Wounds where I don't know where they came from. Anybody? The Bible is definitely, without a doubt, you can say the Bible is against the overuse of alcohol. Without a question, you can get that. Now, to be honest with you, it is harder to make the Bible say no alcohol whatsoever. It's harder to get there in the Bible. You can get there, but it's not as easy. So let's be honest about that, and let's take a look. Because some people say, well, come on. Man, they're drinking wine all over the place in the Bible. How can you say to not drink it at all? Can we just have a glass every now and then? Is that okay? Well, let's be honest, and let's take a look. The first thing that many of you know, but maybe not all of you, is that in the Bible, in the original language, the word for wine, there's just one word, and it just really means the fruit of the vine. And there's no way to tell from the word whether you're talking about juice or booze. You can't tell from the word. You have to look at the context around it. So, let's talk a little bit about alcohol. It's important that you know what it is. Do you know what it is? Do you know how we get it? Alcohol comes from microorganisms. Microorganisms that are in the juice, and they go and they convert the sugars of juice into carbon dioxide and alcohol. I'm not a scientist, but I'm going to demonstrate to you how this works. You've got juice, and you've got microorganisms in the juice, and for me, they look like Pac-Man, okay? And so they go around and they eat up the stuff, the sugars in the juice. And they're very different from us, these yeast, these microorganisms, but as they eat, just like us, there's stuff that goes in this way and there's stuff that comes out the other end. The stuff that comes out the other end, folks, the byproduct, the fecal matter of the yeast is what we call alcohol. Let's let that sink in. They eventually have gone and they've eaten so much, they've created enough alcohol that the microorganisms eventually die in their own fecal matter. Fecal matter. Does that sound yummy to you? All those years, in my partying years, all those years at Iowa State, I was drinking stuff full of fecal matter. Which probably explains why I had such a potty mouth back then, too. Does that sound like something you want? People say, oh, but it's good for you. Just one glass of red wine, it'll help with the heart, keeps the heart healthy. Okay, they've done studies on that, but let's look at the negative effects of alcohol. Would you like to know a few of them real quickly? What does it affect? What does it hurt? Well, over time, it's going to nasty up your liver. And folks, if you want a rotten way to die, head down that way. I've seen it happen. It's not pretty unless you like the color yellow, because you will turn the color yellow when your liver goes bad. Hurts your kidneys also. One study I looked at said about every organ in your body it negatively affects. And cancers, including breast cancer, it helps those cancers to grow. What else does it cause? It causes sexual problems, heart problems, it messes with your stomach, it increases aggression, and can even affect your throat. Really, a little bit of help for your heart? What about all the bad things that it causes? Peter Landis was a medical doctor. He says that alcohol is causally related to 60 different medical conditions. 60! How many of you would like to have more medical conditions than you do right now? You just haven't been able to go to the doctor in weeks, and you really would like to go back and see him. And what about social effects? That's just the physical effects, the body. What about social effects that it causes? Folks, marriages and families torn apart because of this. And I know, because I've seen it. Seen a family that was strong, but the father, the husband, had a problem with alcohol. It took him a long time to admit it. He finally said, yeah, I think I may have a problem, but I can take care of it. I can lick it. And as soon as he told me that, I thought, oh no, he doesn't realize how deadly this stuff is. He wouldn't give it up. It got so bad he was hiding bottles of liquor in the basin of the toilet where the water is. He'd hide them in there so no one would know. He ended up losing his wife and three beautiful daughters because of it. These girls were so hurt now that they've grown up, they want nothing to do with him. They've been hurt that bad. Don't tell me about the little good effects of alcohol, because I've seen the other side of it. And my friend Josiah, I met him in, it was either preschool or kindergarten, I can't remember which. It was a long time ago I met him, and we knew each other all through school, from kindergarten all the way up, graduated together with Josiah. Good friend. He was the coolest guy in school. Do you remember that? Who that guy was at your school? The coolest guy. Every girl liked him, and the guys wanted to be like him. Now when I go back to visit Josiah, you know where I have to go? I have to go to this type of place to see my good friend. We called him Poe. 20 years old. Car accident. Drunk driving. 20 years old. His life was just beginning. So excuse me if I don't do cartwheels over the minor positive effects of wine on the heart. Because you can get those same benefits from drinking non-alcoholic wine or just grape juice. But what's the reason why I don't drink anymore? What's the reason why I don't party like I used to? I'm going to show it to you. It's in the Bible. Again, I will be honest. It's harder to find a direct thing that says, don't drink at all. In the Bible. That's hard to get to. And when we try to make it say that, that's when we lose people. So let's be honest with it. And let's come up with a real reason why we don't. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. This is the reason why I no longer drink, I no longer party like I used to. Romans chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 21. This is Paul writing to a church that was trying to figure out, what do we eat, what do we drink? We're not exactly sure. And listen to what he says in verse 21. He says, it is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. He says, I'm not going to do anything that's going to cause someone else to stumble. Did you know that the chances of, if someone starts drinking after their age 21, the chances of becoming an alcoholic, just 1 in 10 is what they say. So come on, 10% chance? That's pretty good. Well, would you go for a flight on an airplane that an airline crashed 1 out of 10 planes? Would you go there even if they gave you a discount? 1 in 10 going to crash. You going to head that way? Well, that's the statistics for if you're above 21, but if you're under 21, it jumps up. In fact, if you start drinking at the age of 14 or so, it jumps up from 10% to 90% will become alcoholics. But you say, well, maybe I don't have that genetic makeup to become an alcoholic. Maybe I can handle it. Well, maybe I can. Let's just say for the sake of argument, maybe I can handle it. I am predisposed that I can drink a little bit and just be just fine. Well, folks, maybe I can handle it. But what about others? What about other people who watch me? And maybe someone sees me drinking and thinks, oh, well, come on. I mean, if he can do it, and he's the good Christian, it can't be that bad. Only that person who watches me is predisposed genetically to becoming an alcoholic. And he tries it. And he becomes an alcoholic. And what have I led him to become? Maybe I could handle it. I doubt it, but maybe. But there's something else that I don't know of as of yet, is I don't know if my kids could handle it. And what path am I going to lay before them? What path will we lay before our children? What are we setting them up for in our future? Should we play Russian roulette with their future? Because folks, if we drink, chances are, so will they. And Jesus pulls no punches on this. Heaven help us if we lead our children down the wrong path. Jesus states it very clearly in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6. Many times we think Jesus just says lots of nice things in the Bible. Really? When he has to, he speaks to it. And he speaks very plainly. Matthew 18, verse 6, he says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Jesus Christ pulls no punches when it comes to little ones. Now, alcohol and drinking, whether you believe it's a sin or not, folks, it leads to tons of sins, amen? Cheating, promiscuity, violence, gossiping, loose tongues, car accidents, and even death. I hope and pray this morning that you will listen to someone who has been there and someone who still carries the scars on his soul. Folks, you don't need it. You don't. And I would like to sit here and think, oh, I'm preaching to the choir here. Everybody knows it. But I can't. Because when I started this whole journey becoming a Christian, I thought, wow, these Adventists, they're perfect. I'm not sure if I can hang out with them. They're perfect. And I actually thought, being a pastor of an Adventist church has got to be the easiest job in the world. Because they already know everything about the Bible. Their lives are perfect, so all you got to do is just talk to people outside the church. Well, I've got to hang out with you folks for the last 12 years. I discovered something. You're not perfect. So I never assume anything, and I preach it, whether you need it or whether you know of someone who needs it. And I want to tell you something. When it comes to the parties in this world, when it comes to the alcohol in this world, you don't need it. And I figured that out even while I was in the midst of it. When I was at Iowa State, I was talking to a gal, and I asked her, "Why do you drink?" And she said, "Well, I like it. It's fun." So I replied, and I said, "So there's something you don't like about yourself?" She said, "What? No, there's not." I said, "Sure there is. That's why you drink." She said, "What? What are you talking about?" I said, "You drink because when you drink, you think you can be funnier, or you're cooler, or you're sexier, you're more relaxed." So I asked, "What don't you like about yourself that makes you need to drink?" Because in reality, that's why people continue up. When they drink, they can be a different person. They can be funner, sexier, cooler. So if we feel the pull to party that way, maybe we should figure out what we don't like about ourselves and talk to God about that issue. Because maybe He can make us cooler or funnier. Maybe He can change the way we view ourselves. Seems like a safer road. What do you say? I don't drink anymore, but I still do go to parties today. Can you say amen? We should still celebrate today, folks. As Adventists, we should be the happiest people on the planet, shouldn't we? There's no reason for us to walk around with sadness face as on. We don't need that. I remember when Jeanette and I came to Union College years ago. And while I was there, I got invited to a soup supper vespers. And I said, "Hey, there's a soup supper vespers going on. You want to go?" And Jeanette said, "What's a vespers?" I said, "I got no clue, but let's find out. Because if you're not in the church, you don't know what all the lingo means." I said, "Let's go and see." So we went, and I remembered college parties from my time at Iowa State. So I was interested to see what the parties were like at Union College. So we went there, and there were all these college students sitting around, and there was a guy with a guitar, and I thought, okay, it all looks familiar. And then they were sitting around, and they were singing songs about God. And one guy opened up the Bible, and he gave a devotion talk that night. And then when he finished, one group of students stood up and said, hey, they've got some VeggieTales. Let's watch VeggieTales. Yeah, cool. And the whole time I was thinking, wow, what's a VeggieTale? I didn't know. And we got done. We had prayer, and we ate soup, and we were visiting with the religion professors from the college. In the midst of all this, I leaned in close to my wife, and I said, "These college parties sure have changed over the years, from what I remember. But I'll tell you what, getting out of that old life, that old party lifestyle, was not easy. When I share stuff like this, I know there's a chance of someone who thinks, well, Pastor went into it, and then he got out of it. Well, that's true, but not everybody does. And I got a lot of friends who are still stuck in it. And I got one friend who's in the grave. It's not easy to get out once you're in. But there was one time, years ago, when I was on the path and I was believing in Jesus and I felt Him calling me to a new life. But I had a hard time quitting my old partying ways. And I remember being honest with Him, saying, Lord, I want to follow You, but I still want to have fun. And how can I have fun when I'm with You? Because that doesn't seem like it's going to be fun. And I think, folks, that falls on us for why people think that. So, Lord, I want to have fun. So there was one night when I hadn't quite quit yet, and I was out having fun. And the next morning, I was paying the price for having fun. On a beautiful sunny day, I was hanging out where you should never hang out. And I remember thinking, oh, this is horrible. It's such a beautiful day outside, and I'm stuck in here. This is, oh, I hate this. This is awful. And I tell you what, it's one of those few times in my life I heard a voice say, oh, but Michael, you're having fun, aren't you? And I froze, and my partying days were numbered. You ever thought what it must be like to tell Jesus, the parties here on earth are just so hard to give up? I mean, isn't that what we're saying to Him? Oh, I don't know if I want to give this up, Lord. I wonder if Jesus says, are you serious? You have got to be kidding me. Because Jesus tells us that He has a party. No, not a party. He has the party planned for you and me. Not the party of the year, not the party of the decade, not even the party of the century. Jesus has the party of all time planned for us. Can you say amen? Let me show you where it's at. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, our last section that we're going to look at today. Let us see the section of Scripture that tells us that Jesus not only is a party goer, but He is the ultimate party planner. Matthew chapter 22, verse 2. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. They're invited to the wedding, but they're not willing to come. It's just like if we had an 18-year-old. Do we have any 18-year-olds here? Raise your hand if you're 18. I got a few of you. Okay. Now keep your hand up if you're an 18-year-old who's never been on a roller coaster. Okay, they've all been on roller coasters. So we're just going to have to imagine. Just imagine today that we've got an 18-year-old right here with me who's never, ever been on a roller coaster. So I take him next summer. We go down to Worlds of Fun, my old stomping grounds. Worlds of Fun, and we go there. He's 18 years old. I know he's too big for it, but somehow I talked them into letting him ride a roller coaster, one of the kiddie roller coasters, okay? So he gets on the kiddie roller coaster. He goes up, chuk, and then he comes down, wee, bonk. That's kind of what the... And he gets off, he says, oh, Pastor Michael, that was so awesome. I loved it. Bonk, that's it. I loved it. I said, really? You like it? He said, yeah, I love it. I said, okay, you got to come with me. Because if you like that guy, you got to ride the Mamba. And he says to me, nah, I'm good. Yeah. No, I'm going to stick with this one. It's so much fun, Pastor. I just can't. I got to ride it again. How many times can I ride it? Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? When you'd stick on the kiddie coaster when you could be riding the big dog, the Mamba. I wonder if that's how Jesus feels. I wonder if that's what He says to all of us. When we long for the things of this world, when we long for the parties of today, and He says to us, I have something so much better waiting for you. Did you realize that Jesus gave up the party of heaven to come here for us? Will we give up our parties of this world for Him? I praise God, friends, because not only do I not do it anymore, I don't even have a desire to go to it anymore. Not only does He help us stop doing it, He takes the desire away from us. It's not even in me anymore. I don't miss it. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the ultimate party goer and he is the ultimate party planner. And he has a party planned and you are invited. If you didn't realize that, everyone's invited. It says in verse 8, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So that those servants went out into the highways and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Folks, everyone is invited. Will you accept him today? For to accept his invitation to be a part of that party, you have to invite him into your heart. Accept that Jesus died. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So that those servants went out into the highways and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Folks, everyone is invited. Will you accept him today? For to accept his invitation to be a part of that party, you have to invite him into your heart. Accept that Jesus died for you. Accept that Christ and Christ alone, through the power of his Holy Spirit, can prepare you for that day, for the biggest party this universe will ever see. Jesus wants you to be there. He cannot imagine you not being there. But he won't force you. We cannot cling to Jesus and cling to this world at the same time. We got to let go of one. We must choose. So please, take it from someone who has been to way too many parties on this world. Take it from me when I tell you, they don't even come close, not even close to what Jesus has in store for us. For eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even come into the minds of men what God has planned for those who love him. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you love to party, that you love to get excited, Lord, and we can get excited too because of what you have done and what you are doing in our world. What you have done and what you are doing in our lives. Lord, we can be excited. We can be happy. And Lord, we're so grateful that this world is not the end. That even though it may seem exciting, even though it may seem to have a lot to offer, it doesn't even compare to what you have in store. So Lord, if there's anyone here today who's struggling, if there's anyone here today who's having a hard time letting go to hold on to you, I pray that you'll send out your Spirit right now to pester them and to ride them just like you rode me. Until they get to a corner and they finally say, all right, Lord. And they listen. Lord, bless us. Help us to know that you're coming soon. And you want all of us to be there with you. What a day that's going to be. In Jesus' name we prayed. And all those invited to the party said, amen. Amen.